In just a moment, we'll stand and we'll sing together our theme hymn. But before that, let me just leave with you some announcements to remind you about our continuing Nights of Mission. Welcome again this evening. Thank you for your support. And we trust and we pray that you'll continue to come and that you'll continue to hear the word of the gospel faithfully proclaimed. Continue to come a little early and share with us in our time of singing together if that's possible for you. We continue through Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night at 8 o'clock and then next Sunday, next Lord's Day at 11:30 in the morning and 8 o'clock in the evening. I encourage you to come and I encourage you to bring others along with you during this week of special meetings. And our emphasis remains throughout on the gospel and in particular that great theme verse of John 3:16. Can I share two other things with you on the table? As you come and go any of the evenings, you'll find a mixture of literature. It's there, freely available. Please take it. Please read it. Please let it work in your heart and mind. Please pass it on to others if you know it would be of interest to them. The majority of the literature on the table at the moment is gospel literature. Which Way to God is one example. Steps to Peace with God is another. And Travelling Light, L-I-G-H-T, The Light of Christ Might Shine Into Our Lives and Save Our Souls. Please take those, take any one of them, take all of them, and read them. Particularly, if you're thinking about becoming a Christian, that literature would be helpful to you. We encourage you to take it. It's freely available to you. And if you become a Christian, thinking of becoming a Christian, become a Christian. Please speak with either the evangelist, Nigel, speak with our minister. They'd be glad to speak to you any evening you're here, or come and visit you in your home if that's your preference. And please tell us. We want to rejoice with you. We want to share with you because we have a further little booklet called Travelling Through Life Every Day for New Christians. And this gives little readings and guidance for you if you become a new Christian through this time of special outreach. Please ask for one. We'd be delighted to share it with you. And we have plenty of copies. And we trust the Lord will indeed work in many people's lives. Second thing I want to share with you is to remind you that all our services are broadcast over the internet. So if you're ever at home and can't come, but you have the internet facility on your laptop or television, then through sermonaudio.com or through our own BalamenaCongregational.com website, you can pick up and view at home the services each evening and each Sunday. Or if you want a recording, everything is recorded. You're welcome to get a recording of this service tonight or any of the meetings. In fact, you're welcome to get a full set of recordings of all the meetings. All you have to simply do is put your name in the sheet there in the porch table, either write down the date or dates you want, or simply against your name write the words full set. We'll make them up for you. We'll get them to you once the mission is concluded. And that's, again, a free service to you. So if you want it for yourself or want to pass them on to a friend or neighbour as further example of outreach that they would hear the word of God in their own home, then please don't be afraid. Just put your name in the sheet and we'll happily oblige. Let's turn to our hymn then. Let's stand and praise God. This is our theme hymn because we feel it reflects our theme verse number 708. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. And then those words, so loved he the world that he gave us his Son. So let's stand and sing it through to open our meeting proper tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. As Andrew makes his way to the lectern to open in prayer, we're very glad to welcome as our singer tonight, Mr. Jim Ferguson from Lisburn. Jim was with us at the beginning of the year on a Sunday night, and we're so glad he's able to come to take part in our mission. And he's going to sing two pieces for us tonight after Andrew prays. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I apologize for my attire this evening, but I just came here straight from our Coaching for Christ meeting, so you'll forgive me if I'm wearing a tracksuit in church. But it's really lovely to see us all out here this evening, and we'll just bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us this evening. We thank you for the meetings that have passed so far, Lord, and Lord, just as you're with us, Lord, help us to take heed of what you have to say to each of our hearts. Lord, there are many of us sitting here this evening and with many different backgrounds and maybe circumstances in our own lives, Lord, and many of us are saved and maybe need just a word of encouragement, Lord, and in our hearts, and just help us to leave our hearts open for it. And Lord, there's those this evening that'll be sitting in this meeting and they have not yet given their lives to you, Lord, even though they might know that it's the best decision that they can make for their lives is to put their trust in you. Lord, again, we pray that you would just open their heart's door. Lord, that this evening would be the evening for them where they can put their trust in you and have an eternal security and home in heaven with you. Lord, we just pray for Nigel this evening as he preaches your word, Lord, and that we would just bless him as well and give him good health and strength as he would continue to come each evening, Lord. And we pray too and thank you for Jim this evening and that you'll bless his word and song to our hearts too, Lord, that no matter what would happen this evening in our hymns and our Bible reading from the preaching and singing, just, Lord, that your word would bury itself deep in our hearts, that we would be challenged and convicted. And if we're saved, Lord, that we would, it would lead us to a closer relationship with you. But if we're not, Lord, that it would help us to take that final step toward you, to putting our trust in you. Lord, thank you again. And Lord, just thank you for being one of our number. In your name we pray. Amen.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seems so far. I cry, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me. He came to me. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When couldn't come to where he was. He came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and he drew me gently to his side. Where today in his sweet love I now abide. He came to me. He came to me. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. He came to me. He came to me. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. When my soul cried out for help, he was there. When my heart was broken beyond repair, when my world came crashing in and my life was filled with sin, he was there for me every step of the way. Because of the blood, I found peace in the storm. When I see the cross, I find strength. When I'm old, his love has touched my heart like no one else can. My soul has been set free by the blood of the Lamb. The These eyes that once were blind, they now can see. The chains have been broken, I've been set free. And it's because Jesus died and his blood has been applied. I can live my life and never be afraid. Because of the blood, I find peace in the storm. When I see the cross, I find strength when I'm worn. His love has touched my heart like no one else can. My soul has been set free by the blood of the Lamb. Because of the blood, I find peace in the storm. When I see the cross, I find strength when I'm worn. His love has touched my heart like no one else can. My soul has been set free by the blood of the Lamb. My soul has been set free by the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Jim. Lovely pieces. Let me just endorse all that Rodney said tonight. It's good to see a good number out this Tuesday night. I do believe that our mission will gather momentum as the nights go on, and we look forward to tomorrow night and Thursday, and I'm going backwards instead of forwards, Thursday and Friday, and then our two services on Sunday. And do remember, our evening service on Sunday will be at 8 o'clock, not 6:30 as usual. 8 o'clock because of our mission. That lovely first piece that Jim sang, He Came to Me. The Lord has always taken the initiative. Romans 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And 1 John says, we love Him because He first loved us. God doesn't love us because we love Him, but we love Him because He first loved us. He has loved us when you were in a state when you didn't love Him, you had no thought of Him, no desire for Him, and yet the love that He had for you. So it's tremendous, this message of the gospel, isn't it? And we're so glad to welcome back to the pulpit tonight my good friend the Reverend Nigel Kissick, and we look forward again to his ministry tonight. I'm just going to ask him to do his Bible reading now, and then Jim, if you sing your next piece for us, please.
Thanks, Raymond. Well, good evening, everyone. Well, go again. Good evening, everyone. Man, it's good to see you, and we're glad you've made the effort to come out on such an old, cold, bitter night. I'm foundered. I'm thinking of buying a pair of long johns, and I'm going to send the wife out tomorrow. I think I'm going to get her to bring me a pair home. I was away to work this morning, and dearie me, it would cut you in two. I was heading out the road. It must have been just after 6:30, and boys, the roads were like a bottle. And I was well thought for you. I had to buy my paper. You get a bit older, you need a newsletter to see what's going on. So pulling the wee phone and says, you get the wee newsletter, and I got the wife wee text, says, darling, you watch your road now because it's well slippy. And I don't want anything happening. I'm a well thoughtful fella, aren't I? Oh, what do you see? I'm sometimes I surprise myself, but anyway. But it's nice to see you here. We thank you so much for coming out in a old cold night. But God bless you indeed. And God bless you abundantly. And thank you for making the effort. We're reading from John chapter 3, verse 14, and then just down to verse 18. We're just using these number four verses, but we're just focusing on these number nights, these five nights together, Monday to Friday, on John 3 and 16. But verse 14, John 3, in John chapter 3, we read, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Here ends the word of God, and we pray God will bless it to our hearts. Thank you indeed.
Maybe a cold outside, but it's warm in here. I've been a believer for 42 years, and that's why I've been singing about being saved. Had the advantages of a Christian home, but rejected the Lord until I was 21, and now some of you are trying to work out what age I am. I'll soon be 64. I have two birthdays, one in August and one in December, and I don't regret it. I'm going to sing a wee piece just as it says, "Now I have everything." And I was thinking today, you could be a champion at sport. You could win Wimbledon. You could win a World Cup medal. You could be a very prosperous business person. You could be world famous. You could be Obama in the White House, just like that. And yet, you could lose your soul. Was a prophet a man or a woman if they lose their own soul? And they gain the whole world instead. But it adds up to nothing.
I had nothing but heartache and trouble. I was seeking for fortune and fame. I had nothing but doubts and confusion. But now I have everything. I have everything that I need to make me happy. I have Jesus, and he is the way. He has saved me, and he gave me life eternal, and now I have everything. I was making big plans for my future. I had lived all my lifetime in vain. Then I prayed for life's only meaning, and now I have everything. I have everything that I need to make me happy. I have Jesus, and He is the way. He has saved me, and He gave me life eternal. And now I have everything. And now I have
Thank you, Jim. And when you have the Lord, you have everything. As I often use illustration, if you're on your deathbed and you have 5 minutes to live, there's no use the bed surrounded with bags of gold or somebody coming in and saying you've won the lottery. If you have 5 minutes to live, it's Christ that you need at that moment in your heart and in your life. And then it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. We're going to sing a hymn, and then Nigel will conduct the rest of the service. The Rock of Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
We're just going to pray together, and then we're going to spend a few minutes around God's Word this evening and ask the Lord to to draw near to us and help us. And we're just going to still our hearts before God now. We thank you this evening, our Father, that you know us through and through. We can hide nothing from you this past day. The thoughts that we've thought, the actions that we've carried out, the words that we've spoken. You've seen it all and you've heard it all. And it doesn't matter whether we're here in Ballymena, whether we're in Mid-Ulster, or whether we're in any other part of the world for that matter. Lord, there's nothing that can be hidden from thy sight. And you know our hearts and you see our hearts. And Lord, we just graciously pray tonight, dear God, that you would just touch our hearts where the need is. Father, we pray tonight, dear God, that you would, as we've already been asking thee this day, Lord, that you would enable us for the task in hand. Because, Lord, we don't have the strength, we don't have the power, we don't have the ability to cause men to think about you, to cause men to think about their own eternal destiny, to cause men, women, or young people to consider the latter end. That's why, dear God, we cast ourselves upon you. And we acknowledge this evening it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is alone by thy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we thank thee that you're with us. You've promised us this. You've said where the twos and threes are gathered. And we pray now, dear God, that even as whether it be here or people listening, and that, Father, that you would graciously speak for your glory and you would exalt your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen. Our text, as we already intimated in our service this evening, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world is one text that we have learned maybe as childhood in our childhood days. That beautiful words that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And last night we looked together at God and we looked at a number of wonderful facts about who God is and the fact that a number of things that God cannot do. I'm not going to recap on that, but if you'd like to know some of those wonderful truths, that things that are impossible for God to do, then you need to just pick up the wee CD and take some time and listen to it. But this evening we're just going on further down through that little text, and if last night we looked at God, if you move through John 3:16, you don't really get much further without coming across another tremendous subject, and it's the subject of love. And John writes his little epistle here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. And like our brother Raymond has already said, it's not the fact that we first love God, but that the amazing truth was that he first loved us. And like our brother was saying, that he came to us, and as he was singing, and as Raymond was speaking, my mind instantly went to the Garden of Eden. And when Adam and Eve had sinned, it wasn't the fact that Adam and Eve went seeking for God. It was God that came seeking for Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve were hiding and ashamed and embarrassed because of their sin, it was God that came looking for them. But then I asked myself very simply, what is real love? Because in many ways, all of us know what it is to love, whether it's another person. And for some people, it's not people that they love, but it's things that they love. It's possessions that they love. It's other things, but there's always love in people's hearts. But so often, the love that is within our hearts is not a love that we read about in John 3:16, which is an agape love, which is a selfless love, which is a sacrificial love. The love that for many of us have in our hearts is a selfish love, because the love that we have undoubtedly revolves around us. And the type of love that we have is whereby we will show somebody love as long as they show us love in return. But that's not the type of love that God has, and that's not the type of love that God desires to put into those our hearts. Is for those of us who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and for those of us who are saved, and for those of you who are not yet converted, this is the type of love that God wants to put into your heart. Now, you'll not find this love now, by any means, in any other kind of relationship. You can't get this agape love in any other way except whenever you are in fellowship with God. And this agape love is whereby you will willingly and gladly sacrifice selfishness and selfish desires so that you might be able to love even though you are not loved in return. Because the wonderful thing was God loved even when he was not loved in return. And it's this type of love that you read about in John 3:16. A love that whereby he loved men even though men despised him. He loved men even when men mocked him. He loved men even though he knew when he would come and die on a cross that men would spit on his face and nail him to the cross. He still loved them. Because as we noted last night, his love is everlasting, but ultimately his love is for everyone and no one is excluded. But it's what men do with the love of God determines where they will spend eternity. If men reject the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, they undoubtedly reject the only one who will ever give them hope and life and eternity with God in heaven. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. And really what you could say, really if you take the words of Martin Luther King Jr., you could say really that's what God's love does. It takes an enemy of God and makes him a friend of God. And sinner, whenever I was outside of Christ, before I was converted to the Savior, I was God's enemy. Because I was rebelling against him. I was at war with him because I didn't want God's way. Even though I knew there was only one way to heaven, even though I knew there was only one access into the presence of God, even though I knew there was only one heaven to gain or else one hell to gain, one or the other, the fact is I became this enemy of God whereby I was at war with God because I was determined I was going my way. Maybe this evening as you sit in this service, that's exactly you. You are determined that you're just stubborn in your heart that you're going your way and you're an enemy of God. And it's this love that you need that will transform you from being an enemy to being a friend of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians these beautiful words. He says, love suffereth long, it is kind, it envieth not, it vaunteth not itself, it is not puffed up, it doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not our own, it is not easily provoked, it thinketh no evil, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. It beareth all things, it believeth all things, it hopeth all things. It says it endureth all things, it says love never faileth. Now, as a child of God, I'm being honest with you this evening, and I'm not trying to put on any sort of a false front, but I'm coming to you tonight and I'm saying to you, I'm struggling here as a Christian at times for this type of love to be in my life. That's why I need to be close to God. That's why I need to remain constantly in fellowship with God. Because when I feel to be, this is not the type of love that is demonstrated through my life. Because at times, even as a Christian, we can be selfish and we not necessarily are rejoicing not in iniquity, but we are sadly sometimes we can rejoice in somebody's iniquity rather than regret whenever somebody is speaking the truth. There's times that we can, rather than bear all things or believe all things or hope all things, we do the complete opposite. And it's all because that our hearts lack this agape love in our lives. Well, a man called Merle Ogger once said, the love of God underlines all that he has done and all that he is doing. Let me just leave with you a number of little points concerning this love tonight. And primarily, maybe this evening, as a child of God, your heart, I trust, will be touched as I trust my own will be. But if you're outside of Christ this evening, we pray earnestly that your heart will be touched and that you would help to see, God would help you to see that this is the vast love that God had for you. The first thing I want you to know, and it's very simple and it's very important, but this love that God had for mankind was a love that surrendered or it yielded. That word surrender simply means to allow or to yield. And really that's what you get in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He yielded. He allowed. He permitted. He surrendered. He gave his son. What did he give his son for? Who did he give his son for? Well, the fact was he gave his son for you and for me. Why? Because our sin separated us from God. Our sin excluded us from the Son of God, from God himself. And as a child of God, as a Christian, and for those of us who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, if we claim to follow Christ as our Savior and Lord, then here is our example, our standard to which I must attain, to which only God can bring me to this place whereby I might live at, whereby I am living in such a place whereby I am yielding, I am surrendering, I am allowing God to have His way constantly in my life. Now, sometimes as God's people, we are far from that type of people, whereby we are not a surrendered people at all, because we resist God and we rebel again. Even as God's people, we can rebel. We're no different than the children of Israel. When God led Israel out of the house of bondage, the place of Egypt, and He brought them to the edge of the Red Sea, and they trembled, and they began to complain, and they got through the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh and his army was destroyed, and they're now going out into the wilderness, and they're heading for the promised land. And you see the fact that God had been their deliverer, and God had been their savior, and God had been their guide. They'd been to the very point that they'd got. It was all an answer to prayer, because they had cried unto God for a deliverer. And God raised up this man called Moses, even though it took him 80 years to get to this place. You'll find that whenever this man did come, and whenever God used him to get them out into the wilderness, before they knew it, they turned their back on him. And they began to rebel, and they began to refuse. And on many occasions you'll find that, and in fact on one occasion you'll find that God was angry with his people because of their rebelliousness towards him. And he sent fiery serpents among them. And then they cried unto God again, and here he said to Moses, make up a brazen serpent and raise him up. And he said, and whoever looks at the serpent shall live. And we find that here were a people that were far from yielded, and far from surrendered, and far from willing to let God have his way. And yet undoubtedly, when we consider the fact that God's the love of God, and this love that surrenders, we have to think about the fact that whenever God yielded and gave and allowed his son to come to this earth, he allowed him to come, and he yielded, and he was willing to let him come for the simple reason of the cross, that he may die in the place of sinners. And dear sinner, whenever you think of that, you've got to consider the fact that when Jesus surrendered his will and surrendered his plans and surrendered his ambitions that night before he was crucified, the scripture tells us that he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood. And he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, Lord. And this great struggle that was taking place, and yet we find that the Savior is brought to this place of surrender, this yieldness there the night before the cross. And he says, Lord, whatever your will is for me, Lord, let me be willing to drink that cup. And dear soul tonight, I want you to see most of all that he drank that cup for you. You know, all that sin that's in your life that is yet is to be repented of. That sin that has been hidden from man but is not hidden from God. The pride, the jealousy, the bitterness, the envy. Let's just simply call it sin. For all that he died. For all that he gave his life. That you as a lost sinner might be redeemed and brought back to God. A man called William Rees wrote a beautiful hymn, and he wrote those lovely words here: as love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life a ransom shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise, he can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. Now, if we know this is how much God loves us, then we ask ourselves a simple question. And the love of God was never lip service, it was always action. It wasn't the fact that God says he loves mankind and that was it. It wasn't the fact that we get John 3:16, for God so loved the world, an end of story. It's not that. It's this fact whereby it was action. It was, there was something to prove that he loved us. And the proof was in his son. So I bring that into my life as a Christian, and we bring that into those of us in this service this evening who are Christians, those of us who are listening online possibly, and we ask ourselves, well, if I say that I belong to God, I say I love him, how is that shown in my life by action? So I'm reminded of a man called Simon Peter, and for three times he denied Christ before the cross. And it was just as the Savior said. And then after the crucifixion, Christ had risen from the dead, he came to Simon Peter, this man who doubtedly had slipped away from God and had slipped away from this closeness with God. Remember, he was the man, as we intimated the other day, he was the man who said, Lord, though all men forsake you, I never forsake you. I never deny you. And yet this one man that was as bold as brass and became this coward, became really what you could say, he fell into this place of backsliddenness whereby he was away from God. And the amazing thing was, even in his condition, it was Christ who came to him. And he asked him three simple questions, and the same question three times. Lovest thou me more than these? Simon, lovest thou me more than these? Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And what was his reply? He says, oh Lord, thou knowest that I love thee more. Thou knowest that I love thee. Tell me this evening, Christian, do you love him more than anything else? Do you love him more than anything else? Or is your love, is it something that's just lip service and no action? No proof. No evidence. What does the scripture say? The scripture says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If what? If ye have love one for another. Tell me, have you a love tonight that surrenders? Have you a love tonight that yields to God's will? You ever come to that place just saying, look, Lord, I realize for so long, even as a Christian, Lord, I've only really been living for one person. Yes, I might have put on a facade. I might have put on a face whenever I come into Christian company to make things look that I'm really living for you and I'm loving you more than anything. But in my heart of hearts, Lord, I'm not loving you more than anything else. You're not my number one. God says to us this evening, simply, lovest thou me more than anything else? More than anyone else? And your response this evening is what? Lord, not your will, Lord, my will. My way. No, says God, no, if you want to please me, it's not your will. It's your yieldedness to my will. Let me say to you secondly, not just is this love that I read about in John 3 and 16, is love that surrenders, but it's a love also that sacrifices. And there's been many sacrifices just not so long ago in this past month, 11th day. We remember the men who made the great sacrifices that we could enjoy freedom and liberty today. And yet, when we think of that great sacrifice that men made down through wars, well, it was the Great World War, the First World War, the Great War, or World War II, or any other wars up to recent days. We think of all the sacrifices that men and women have made for their country, for their nation. And yet, whenever I go back to the book of Isaiah the prophet reminds me of the great sacrifice that God made for me as a sinner, that God made for you as a sinner. When we read these words, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And yet the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Later on, Isaiah says that it pleased the Father to bruise him. And what? And I ask myself, this great sacrifice that God the Son made for us, the sinners, was a vast sacrifice. And such was the vastness of it, we're told that when he's this Son of God, bearing in mind this is the sinless one, this is God's Son, whenever they looked upon him, they could find no fault in this man. Now you and I, we can find fault in each other. And sometimes it's very easy to find, because simply we are sinners. But now we're speaking about the Son of God, now we're speaking about the one who has never sinned neither in thought or word or deed. He's never done anything wrong. He's never spoken out of place. He's never used his hands for a wicked deed. He's never used his feet to go to a wicked place. He's never thought a terrible thought about anybody. And everything he has done and everything he has spoken, the undercurrent, the foundation to everything he has done, has all been based upon this great truth of love. Because he loved humanity. And we're told that when he's come to this time of 33 years of age, when he's about to die, when he's about to lay down his life for sinners, when he's about to lay his life down for mine and for yours, and so that we might have eternal life, that we might have abundant life. This is the Son of God now, and he's got to the cross, and he's experienced everything of man. He's experienced everything of the anger of man upon him. When the men have slapped his face, when the men have blinded him and have slapped him, and then they've said, "Now prophesy, tell us, who was it hit you?" When these men do the cruelest things, when they cleared his throat upon his, their throats upon his face, when they despise the Son of God, and then he hangs on a cross, and the soldiers hear this cry going up to heaven, and these words, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," when translated simply meaning, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Why have you left me, God? Why am I all alone? And heaven is silent as the whole earth is covered in darkness, when God the Father pours out all his anguish, all his wrath, and all his anger upon this one whom he loved. And no greater sacrifice any man made for mankind. But when this man died and bore the wrath of your sin in his own body, for what reason? So in the year 2013, in the month of November, that you would hear this good news, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinner, here's sacrifice tonight. Here's Christ's sacrifice for you. Tell me, what will you do with him tonight? If I find that this love, this agape love, is a love that very simply that surrenders or it yields, a love that sacrifices, it costs. And can I say that now? I know my time is gone, but for those of you tonight who are not Christians as yet, but God by His Spirit, I trust, was striving with you and causing you to think, I want to say something to you that's very important. Becoming a Christian is not easy. Becoming a Christian is not some plain sailing whereby it's like a bed of roses and you have no more problems and you have no more difficulties. Lest tonight you think, well, if I become a Christian, all my troubles will all wipe away and lo and behold, I'll just be like me floating on a cloud and I never have any more difficulties or any more problems or any more trials. Well, I'm saying to you this evening, that will never be the case. Never be the case. There are those times when we consciously know the presence of God, when it would feel like we are floating. There are those times when God graciously draws near and He lifts our hearts and it's something of the supernatural coming to the natural. We know something of the presence of God that touches and changes our lives. And God is with us, never to leave us nor forsake us. But the fact is, dear child of God, we have, and for you to become, when you become a Christian, there will be trials that you will face, there will be difficulties that you will encounter, there will be problems that you will come across. But the wonderful thing is that Jesus has said He would never leave us nor forsake us. And this is the assurance that we have as the children of God, that no matter what we go through, and we will go through things, and maybe tonight as you sit in the house of God, you're going through something. Now, bearing in mind, that whenever we're going through something, we're not in it, we're going through it and we're leaving it behind. God's going to bring us through it. Maybe as you've come to the house of God this evening as a child of God, you've come with some burden in your heart and you don't know how you're ever going to get through the issue or the problem or the difficulty. The truth is, folks, God is going to, in His time, bring you through it. But you've got to learn to trust Him. A fellow said to me the day in work, you know, I wonder in life, he says, why do I have so many ups and downs? Why is there always so many valleys? And my response was, whenever there's a valley, there's always a mountain. And he says, but whenever there's a mountain, there's still another valley to come. Well, I says, that's right. But I left him just with something we thought. But then as I thought about it, when he went away and I thought about it, well, yes, there is valleys and mountains. But the wonderful truth is that even though there's valleys and mountains, the truth is that even in the valleys, God is teaching me. As a Christian, God is teaching me that in the valleys, I can still trust Him. Eh? That even though when everything is dark and everything is troublesome and whenever there's difficulties and whenever there's problems, that even whenever I don't see in the future, all I see is a dark cavern with a very small pinhole of light at the far end, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to get through because I can see where I'm going. And God says, listen, you don't need to see because I'm before you and I'm with you and I'm in you and you just got to trust me. Gabriel says to Isaac, God says to Abraham, take now your son, your only son Isaac, him whom thou lovest, and go to a mountain which he shall tell thee of and offer him there as a sacrifice. And what did it seem? It seemed, for humanly speaking, you'd think, well, Abram's asking himself, well, what's God doing here? And all along, all simply Abram had to learn to do was simply just, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I can trust you because you're my father. And there are sacrifices and costs even as Christians, and maybe it's cost you as a Christian. There's costs in your life. But listen, there's also great payments in return. Because to be faithful to the day of death when the Scripture says we shall receive a crown of life when we're in the presence of God. This love, this agape love, is not just a love that is yielded, surrendered, sacrificial, it's sacrifice. But I'm going to tell you this, dear soul, as I finish. There's an old saying, and it goes something as, there is no love like the love of Jesus. It's not a saying. It's absolutely true. There is no love like the love of Jesus. It's sincere. Sadly, in life, it's like many things in life. They're becoming fewer and harder to find. What am I talking about? Sincere and genuine people. People who say what they mean and mean what they say. And say it in love. People who are sincere that you can rely upon and depend upon. But even those people at times can let you down. But let me say something to you, sinner, this evening. Whenever I point you to the Lamb of God, I point you to one who is 100% genuine and one who will never, never fail you. Maybe tonight you come and you say, well, I don't know, I would like to be a Christian, but I'm not sure, and I have all these questions in my mind. Well, I can assure you this evening, whatever your questions might be, I can turn you to this wonderful fact and point you to this great truth. Listen, this Savior of whom we present to you this evening is one who cares more for you, not just than anybody else, but only wants His very best, to give you His very best in your life. If you'll only but give your life to Him.
He surrendered to the Father's will. The question is this evening, will you surrender your will? I'm going to finish with a little thought. We have an old principal. He's gone to be with the Lord now, Mr. Peckham. And Mr. Peckham always taught us that there are three parts to a man. There's his intellect, and there's his emotion, and there's his will. Three parts of man. So he taught us when you're preaching the gospel, you've got to make sure that people's intellect has been enlightened, so people understand what you're saying. He says, so you might won that battle. He says, emotionally, you mean people's hearts are touched emotionally by what they hear. When they consider the cross, and when they consider Christ, and when they consider the cross, when they consider the sacrifice, when they consider the fact that he surrendered his will to the Father. But he says, the last one is the hardest of all, the will. Because many people know it intellectually. And many people are touched emotionally. But many people are unwilling to yield their wills to God's. What about you tonight? Are you willing to say to him this evening, Lord, no longer mine. No longer my will, Lord. But I want your will. Your will is, Lord, that none should perish. Your will is that you will save. Your will is that, as you promised in your word, that whoever calls in your name, they shall be saved. Your will is, Lord, whoever comes, you'll never cast them out. Your will is, Lord, that when we seek thee, we'll find you when we search for thee with all our hearts. Tell me, where's your will at tonight? Is it yours? Or is it his? Let's pray together. Sweet Father, as we come to thee, we thank thee indeed that you know us. And we ask you tonight, dear God, as we have listened to your word, as our intellect has been enlightened, and possibly our emotions have been stirred, Father, we pray this evening that for every one of us, whether in this congregation or whether listening, someone may be listening in days to come on a CD in their own home. Lord, will you bring those who have listened to this word this evening to a place, each one of us to a place, whereby our wills would be thy will. It would be one with thine. And Father, if there are adjustments that we need to make in our lives, even as your people, to bring our wills in line with yours, Father, help us not to remain a stubborn people. But Lord, break through our stubbornness and break through our rebelliousness. And help us to gladly yield our all to thee in thy name. Amen. We're going to stand as we worship the Lord together, please. We're going to sing this lovely hymn, Give Me a Sight, O Saviour, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth today on Calvary. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Oh, that you would keep us from merely just singing words and not meaning what we sing. We pray that you will bend our wills. We pray you'll help us to yield our wills. That, Father, they will, as we already prayed, come in line with thine, that we might enjoy this agape love in our lives that is selfless, this love that always puts you first. Our Heavenly Father, part us with your blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. And we look to thee, dear God, to continue with us. And as we remain in the attitude of prayer, in your name we pray. Amen.